Today is our concluding workshop. Is it true? And, yes. Oh my God, it went so fast. And for me, most properly, this workshop is the most important one. You might say, then why are you so late? Although I'm not the body, I unfortunately have a big complication going on at the moment. It's almost cured, but it takes some time. I do need very painful exercises to just handle it. But it's I'm over the edge. I'm feeling very relieved now. It was a problem for 4 weeks, really. A very, very big problem. It almost was costing me my inner peace, but Krishna saved me. So let us now quickly go to the subject matter. I think you might have felt that the subject of this morning was quite important, not only for your chanting, but for your general spiritual life. I personally feel that maybe 1.5 years ago in Vrindavan, I studied the work of Bhajan Rahasya, that is the confidential secrets of Bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I came over this subject matter and also over this verse which we chant today. And it is my firm conviction now that this is something very, very important. At the end of the 10 offenses, in chapter 13 of Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur talks about this attachment to me and mine, meaning me as the body and mine, the extensions of the body, our whole material life, really. As long as you cannot transcend that and see yourself as a servant of Krishna, it is almost impossible for you to go into your spiritual life. Haridas Thakur has very strong words for this. He says, that low person who is absorbed with the conception of I and mine, calls them a low person, and who will not develop attraction to the holy name, even after hearing its glory, is an offender to the name. So this offense of just, in my language, I would say, climbing the wrong mountain can only go if you learn to climb the right mountain. Let me explain. When you want to reach a goal in the mountain, you must be sure that the mountain which you climb is the right mountain, the mountain which brings you to your goal. There are mountains left and right, but only one of these mountains is right for you to climb if you want to go to certain areas in the Himalayas, for instance, the Bhagirathis. If you move up the mountain, if you move up towards the Bhagirathi, there is a possibility that you turn left and go higher and higher on the left side. And then you will climb a mountain and be on top of the mountain. But the Bhagirathi, the sacred mountain of Bhagirath, is 50 kilometers away from you. And you will not be able to reach that mountain unless you climb all the way down again. What you did. So in your spiritual life, you also can climb the wrong mountain. You can move with the wrong conception, and this wrong conception only goes if you surrender completely to the holy name. What does surrender to Krishna in the form of his holy name mean? I would like to request you to open your books. On page, thank you so much, Balaram. On page 57. Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
You saw in our little game how the three people, or two of them actually, at one stage said, we surrender this foolish life of riches and we live a spiritual life again. It was associated with some pain. Munishvara felt some pain. I mean, the actor, he had to surrender. So the first part of surrender is you need to learn to accept everything favorable for the service of the Lord. In order, now this is a tricky thing. As long as we are in the world, we will have to adopt the things of the world which help us to make advancement in spiritual life. For instance, some of us are better off when they are married. If they would say, well, let me surrender and not marry, Krishna is my only husband, they might experience really great difficulties in their lives. Now, I've seen this in some of during the old times when it was for some reason seen as more advantageous to remain a brahmachari, a single man who engaged all his time in spiritual practices. And some of them, some of us maintained this and went on in their lives, but others forced themselves and became so disturbed that ultimately they left Krishna consciousness. So accepting everything favorable for the service of the Lord may mean to accept the things which you need to maintain your physical body. Then you should reject everything which is unfavorable for the Lord. Haridas says with disgust. Yesterday we heard, the day before yesterday we heard that a devotee considers material life to be like a dark hole which brings him into a void. So he is very afraid. When the Rolling Stones come and invite you to become their well-earning member, you should know this lifestyle may be dangerous and it may enter into a dark hole. Or when you, well, Dominic had vegetarian restaurants, that was good. So the next is thinking that Krishna is always one's protector. The fourth is considered to be the heart of the process of surrender, to become dependent on Krishna. It means you think Krishna is your maintainer. You join Krishna's samsara, Krishna's family. This is, if you do this, then from this fourth point, says Jiva Goswami, it will be very easy to practice all the other points. Then you must always think yourself low and unqualified and insignificant. We talked about this. This means you just think, well, I'm the 10,000th part of the tip of the hair. That's pretty small. That's my spiritual identity at the moment. It is very small. All the other thing around me is the world of matter, which is based on my false ego. Oof. Now, don't worry. This size, 1/10,000th, the tip of a hair. It means Prabhupada often spoke about, you take the hair and you split it into 10,000 pieces. That's how small the individual soul is. This is a size given in regards to the potential form of the soul. Potential is like a seed. A seed is small, but it contains in a potential form a huge tree. So your spiritual identity is in that soul form, that small form there. And as you engage in spiritual life, it becomes manifest. It grows like a tree which will grow from a mountain. Not a mountain, a seed. You follow? In the beginning, our understanding of who we are is very vague. We are very small, we think, in the beginning. But details of our personalities are not yet revealed to us at this stage. And after practicing on this level, your spiritual identity will be manifest, and one day you will understand that maybe you are in relationship to Krishna, Krishna's friend, Krishna's beloved, Krishna's this and that and so on. It will grow. It will become more clear, and the first indication of your spiritual form becoming revealed is that you feel a certain attraction to Krishna. To a pastime of Krishna or a specific form of Krishna, it will come. And the sixth is surrendering the self as an eternal servant of Krishna, but will be willing to do anything that Krishna desires. So the way up, my dear devotees, is always the way down in spiritual life. If you want to make advancement in spiritual life, then you should come closer to that position which is described here. This position of a little soul, an insignificant part of Krishna. Yeah. Haridas Thakur continues, a surrendered soul thinks himself to be insignificant and unqualified. A surrendered soul humbly worships Krishna's lotus feet and without material motivation sings his name. Surrendered souls seek out another surrendered soul and with the desire to give up their material attachments, they take up the service of such a devotee. Gradually they become fixed in the name, the concepts of I and mine disappear, and they cross over the world of Maya. This is the process of the holy name. It is really meant to help you give up what is false and come to that which is real. It's very spiritual, isn't it? By now I think you can see it's not just some nice meditation, something which we do to enhance our material life, to be a little bit more peaceful in our material life. It is meant to stop the dream. It is meant to stop the illusion of material life. Raj Biharani, I see you sitting like on an edge with excitement. Yeah, it is meant. So this whole material life from the spiritual position is just a dream. And too many of us are interested to continue the dream. That interest is there. We should wake up from this dream. And the holy name will help us. And it will bring us to the understanding of who we are. And in this way, as we understand who we are, we will act on the surrendered soul level. My dear devotees, I would like to ask you, first of all, a little question. who of you or could you please just give me a few of the impressions which you had when you heard this morning's class, which told where we were informed of the Buddha Shuddhi prayers. Was something there in there which struck you, which made you hear, where you thought, oh my God, this is serious? Yes, please, Anandini, yes.
I'm going to ask a question for Veronique, because after the class.
Yes, that is a question, that is good. We will, Veronique, s'il vous plaît, une minute, Shanti.
It takes me another question about realization.
Oh, realization. Okay. Yes.
But she realized that before she did a lot of meditation, that she was not this body and not the mind, and she didn't identify with it, and she felt very good. But then she comes to the spiritual life here, and she starts to realize that she's actually... She becomes much more connected with her body and her emotions, and she feels much more attached to all these things since she comes here. So it's a whole different lifestyle here meditation, but not the body.
Yeah, it is said like this: first you become a human being, and then you become a spiritual person. Sometimes we want to run away from our humanness by into a type of meditational peace, but it is important to confront our humanness and then to transcend it. Because if we do not confront our humanness, our spiritual realizations will be temporary only. We will the unacknowledged part of us. They will demand some type of fulfillment. This is a very deep subject, Veronique, and I cannot explain it in great detail here. But it is said: first we become a human, proper human being, and then a transcendentalist who transcends this. So any impressions which you had? Yes, Rishabha.
Marsh, at the class I thought, like, we are reading the scriptures and we are getting so much information, like theoretically we are learning, and I liked it very much that the process, the one you were talking about, the Ekadasi, that we have the determination to we want to do the process, we want to follow it, and then we put the effort to it, and then we feel that pain. That was very nice, that during that pain, just helplessness, and then we pray to Krishna, and Krishna really takes away that pain and gives us that realization of that. What we did, like the process, I mean, the theory becomes reality. Like we can, like by Krishna's mercy, we learn how to really realize what is being said in the scriptures. I liked it very much. Thank you.
Others, Munishwara Hari.
I think especially when you make music. Of play for Krishna, first you it's always so you have to learn this techniques, and then when you have the technique inside, you can be an instrument. Especially when you play, my experiences with the sitar, when I play, and sometimes it plays alone, and you look and see, wow, what's before, what's going on here, and then sometimes you can be an instrument Krishna, when you play for Krishna,
mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. Lotus is so amazing. And
Krishna seems to play through you.
Yeah, I don't know, it's really Krishna.
Awesome. But thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. First we learn so much the techniques, but then we let go of the technique. First we think, oh, I'm a spirit soul, I'm not the body. But then, this all goes away, and we are just in the transcendental level.
And Krishna will see, is he really serious? Will he learn this really? Or,
I would like you now to turn to your neighbor and share one experience where you felt very connected to Krishna. I would like you to tell your neighbor what exactly happened, how did you feel at that time, and how did this experience impact the rest of your life? Is this a good question?
Yes.
Would you like me to give you the three questions?
Yeah.
Because otherwise we get... So, we look for an experience where you really felt connected to Krishna. And the question A is, what exactly happened? We really want to know. It was in Vrindavan when I was following Ekadasi and when I transcended the bodily and mental platform. So what happened exactly? How did you feel at that time? How did it register? And then third is, how did this experience impact your life? Like afterwards, did you make some changes? Did you import that into your life? This is very important. Sometimes we have so many realizations, but we just, it happens and the next moment we are already somewhere else, or we don't digest it. So I really feel this will help you, this exercise, to understand our next practice which we will do. But maybe you should think for a minute first. Raj Viharini, this must be very interesting what you your whole hands and legs are speaking. Yes, such a spiritual experience is very important in our spiritual life, and it usually happens in connection to what we are talking about here. A complete turning to Krishna, really. This is what we are trying to talk about. There is a very lovely Indian story which I love. It comes in one of the Puranas. It's about a temple opening. Once there was a king who had built a big temple, I mean a real big temple, like Angkor Wat in Cambodia. Have you seen that? Over several miles it's big. The organizers of the Mayapur Kirtan Mela want to make a Kirtan Mela there. They are getting very inspired. So anyways, this king had built a similar huge temple complex. Not just one building, but a complex. And he fixed the date of inaugurating this temple for the 25th of April, which was good because it was still in spring. But Krishna told him in a dream, "My dear king, I'm already busy to attend another temple opening on the 25th of April. You have to do it on another date. Oh, said the king, is it a big temple? It's the best temple, said Krishna. Where is it? Said the king. I would love to see it. Maybe I can get some good ideas and then please you by doing similar things. Yes, 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 you must go there and you will get the right idea, said Krishna, smiled and disappeared. The king just had the opportunity to ask, where is it? And Krishna turned around one time and said, it's across the border in the next, in the town of the neighboring kingdom. Just the town which is just next to the border. So the king went on the 20th of April, 4 days earlier. He went with his ministers and he was paying a visit to the local king and said, I heard there is a huge temple opening and Krishna will personally appear there. What, said the king? Then you know more than me about what is going on in my kingdom. No one was building since the last 100 years any significant temple. Oh, there must be, said the king. Krishna told me and I have trust in his words. So he went around the town in bigger, bigger circles to identify the building place of this huge temple. But 3 days had passed and he had no information about a temple being built. No one knew of any little building, not even a small temple. So then one evening, the evening before the 25th of April, the king stayed very sad on the marketplace and he asked, I know the Lord wants to move on the 25th of April into a temple. Well, is there maybe a Vaishnava somewhere here? The Vaishnava could help me identify the temple. Maybe he has secretly built under the earth a temple or something. Tell me if there is a Vaishnava. And the people said, yes, there is a very good Vaishnava. He lives before the town under a tree. And you can go and ask him. Early in the morning of the 25th, the king went to that, followed the directions, and he found a tree, and under the tree there was a devotee chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The king made a noise like this. The Vaishnava opened his eyes and said, what do you do? What do you want? And the king said, I want to witness the opening of a temple. Oh, said the Vaishnava. Then he remembered something. He remembered that the Lord had said that he is more attracted to someone who builds a temple in his heart for him than he is attracted to a temple with stones. The Lord had said this in the case of one very great Vaishnava, Lal Babu, where he said, when you are ready to build a temple for me in your heart, then I will come. You have built so many buildings, so many temples, but I want to come into your heart and live in the temple of your heart. So the Vaishnava remembered this, and then he remembered a dream where the Lord told him that he would appear on the 25th of April if his heart would be a temple. So since that dream, he had every day done a simple meditation. He had constructed a temple in his heart and he had worshipped the Lord inside the heart with aratiks, with the super first class buildings, with the throne, and so on and so forth. When the king asked him, "Do you know of any temple here?" Then the Vaishnava said, "I don't know if there is such a temple, but why don't you stay with me and engage in chanting? Maybe you will see something." So the devotee went in his heart and said, "My Lord, is it that today you want to appear to me? My Lord, I'm calling out your name so long. Is it that you finally will show your mercy?" And as he was chanting, he was going deeper and deeper into it's called bhava, stage of love of Godhead. All of a sudden, he saw in his heart a wonderful temple and the Lord appearing on the midst of the altar of the temple of his heart. Hare Krishna! Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki! So I like these stories very much. And I want to engage you in a practice, in a meditation practice, whereby we will construct a temple in the heart. And the first process is to now just let go of everything and chant. Then we will have a pause, an active pause, and then we will have a guided session of receiving the Lord in the temple of the heart. Is that a good idea?
Yes.
Good. What is our melody? Yeah. Yeah. Krishna, Hare.
It's the other.
Okay, let's
start.
We almost have it. Krishna Hare Hare. That's also a good one. Hare Rama. Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare
So, my dear devotees, now we will have a 15-minute pause up till 12 o'clock. I request you to utilize this pause in one, in two ways or three ways. Obviously, you please take it to rest. I suggest you walk a little up and down, either here in the room or even better outside. You can also visit the restrooms. And if you engage in conversations, I mean, the best is to engage in Krishna-conscious conversations, not practical conversations about, or you just chant your japa. Because what we will do in the next workshop is we will try to apply an ancient process which was given by Narada Muni. Muni. Sorry, I'm a little tired. Narada Muni. these are the three baths of the soul. Hare Krishna. More I cannot say. It is will be a meditation. So it's easier for you if you move a little. Maybe you chant japa outside. So that you have a lot of oxygen and will not feel unnecessarily tired. Hare Krishna. I would love to welcome you to a little meditational exercise which we have developed in our Varshana and Govardhan retreats in India. Maybe you know that a few times, each year, we have two retreats. One is in Varshana, it's called the Holy Name Retreat, and the second is on the banks or on the side of Giriraj, it's the Govardhan Retreat. We have this already since over 10 years, and we are building now a retreat center for devotees who like to come there and to just be on their own and retreat from the world at a holy place. This is a little bit our plan. We have developed there some meditation. There's one sacred place very close. Maybe you have to walk for half an hour. It's at Kusum Sarova. Here the great saint Narada Muni came and wanted to behold Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. But no matter how many austerities he performed and how deep he meditated, he could not enter this divine reality because his heart was not purified enough. So during this time, he met Vrinda Devi, the goddess of Vrindavan, who told him to take a bath at Kusum Sarova. And she said, when you come up from your bath, you won't be Narada Muni with your Veena any longer, but you will be an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. And in this form, you will be able to behold the divine couple in Vrindavan. So this is one of the many examples of how devotees take a sacred bath and give up their material identification, come out of the water in a new form, and then engage in that new form in service of Krishna. So I want to make on the subject of giving up our false identification a meditation with you which will help us to develop our real identity. First of all, as a spiritual soul, a tiny part of Krishna, and as you will be more advanced in your Krishna conscious life, you will become more convinced of certain details of your spiritual identification. But let that come in a natural way. So I'm now ready to start the meditation. Are you ready?
Yes.
Satya is ready. Good. Oh, here it is. Balaram, you will be with us. That means you can't meditate 100%. You have to watch me. Yes, Rahul. Sometimes I would do meditations and at the end we chant and Gaura Hari would be totally in meditation and then I took cold water and squirted this through the whole room, but this I consider to be too uncultured to do today. So that was in emergency cases only. So Gaura Hari, no meditation for you today. Mantra meditation. My dear devotees, in this world we have so many relationships. Relationships to parents, relationship to friends. We have encouraging relationships. We have disappointing relationships. In this world, we have many relationships. But these relationships will one day disappear from us. They will be almost like smoke in the incense which you light in the morning for the puja of Radha Gopinath. And after only 5 minutes, the smoke of the incense is gone. So in the same way, all our relationships in this world will one day be gone and we are left only with the one relationship. That is the relationship with Krishna. But too often we are distracted. We are not actually able to give the time which we need to give to this one relationship. We become entangled and absorbed in the other relationships, which are of course there, they are necessary, but they are only there for a short time, much like the smoke of an incense is only hanging for a short time in the thin air and then is moving on to somewhere else. I would like you to take a few breaths, deep breaths. You still keep your eyes open, and the way you deepen your breath is just by exhaling very deeply, like this. I'm still exhaling. I intend to do this for half an hour more. And then you can inhale very deeply. Do a few of these very deep exhales. If you're good, you can do it for 10 minutes, but that's really when you are an accomplished yogi. Each exhale which you do, it's called a little breath work. It's nothing to do with meditation. We lengthen our exhale. Can you see how you really start to breathe? Two more of these deep breaths. Okay, now let your breathing calm down and come natural. And just observe your breathing. When you inhale, observe the air which streams inside your lungs. Wherever you exhale, just observe. Be the neutral observer. Today, I request you to let all the relationships which you have slowly go back in the background of your mind. You can imagine you are sitting alone at the beach of an ocean. That's the vast ocean before you. Or better, you sit on the banks of a sacred river, the Yamuna River. You may not yet have your preferred spot because it is very rare that you come to Vrindavan. Maybe you have not yet gone. But just imagine yourself to be at the bank of the river Yamuna. Very peacefully, she floats next to you. She floats either from the left side, passes you and goes to the right side, or you sit at the other, in another direction. She comes at the right side and floats in the left. See her floating by. It's a beautiful prayer which Lord Chaitanya said to the river Yamuna. And as we continue sitting on the river Yamuna, and as we continue to breathe very peacefully, we listen to this prayer. O river Yamuna, you are the blissful spiritual water that gives love for the son of Nanda Maharaj. Because you have descended from the spiritual world, you can vanquish all our offenses and the sinful reactions incurred in this life. O River Yamuna, you are the creator of all auspicious things for the world. O daughter of the Sun God, kindly purify us by your pious activities. Please continue to watch the waters of the Yamuna glide by. You're in a sacred place. You're at the bank of a river which also exists in the spiritual world. And there this river can give you love of Krishna, it is really a river of love. As we are continuing to watch the river Yamuna glide by, we will hear the Buddha Shuddhi prayers, which offer us a meditation that we are the eternal servant of Krishna and can serve him now. I am by nature the eternal servant of Lord Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I have turned away from him since time immemorial. Therefore, I have identified myself with my body and wandered continuously in the cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering from the burning threefold miseries. But now, due to some unimaginable good fortune, I have met a spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and out of his mercy, he has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant, completely separate from my gross and subtle body. I am so fortunate now that I can serve his lotus feet, and in his footsteps I can serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Syama Sundara. My dear devotees, in your mind's inner eyes, raise now slowly and enter into the waters of the Yamuna. Move slowly. If you want, you can offer her a little water from your cupped palms. Now very slowly immerse yourself into the water of the Yamuna. You are now under the water and you come immediately up. And as you stand hip deep in the water, and the water runs down your body, flowing back into the Yamuna, your bodily identification goes. No longer do you think, I'm a German or an English person. No longer do you think I'm a man or I'm a woman. Take your second dip. Slowly immerse yourself. When you come up, as the water runs down your body and back into the Yamuna, your mental concepts all go. No longer do you have all these plans and all these ideas. When you are ready, please go inside the blissful waters again. Dip deep under. See the water, the bluish dark water. And come up again. And as you emerge for the third time from the beautiful waters of the Yamuna, your ego goes away and dissolves. Now you are totally free. You hear in the distance from one sadhu a prayer. O River Yamuna, you are the blissful spiritual water that gives love for the son of Nanda Maharaj. Because you have come down from the spiritual world, you can vanquish all our offenses and the sinful reactions incurred in one life. You are the creator of all auspicious things for the world. O daughter of the Sun God, kindly purify us by your own pious activities. As you stand in the Yamuna, in your mind's eye, see a tree on the opposite side of the bank. There, under desire tree, can see Radha and Krishna on an effulgent throne, surrounded by their confidential associates. We say to them, mental prayer, I surrender to you. Whatever is mine is in truth your property. Everything is for your sake. Everything is for your enjoyment. Nothing is for my enjoyment. From this space, we will offer them a kirtan, a Buddha Shuddhi kirtan. We will worship them, Radha and Krishna, by singing for them the beautiful names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Thank you.
time as if you really mean it. Beautiful atmosphere created by kirtan, created by connected kirtan. Try to remain connected throughout your lives, and you will happily dance in the fire of Krishna consciousness like a spark in the fire. You now to turn to your neighbor, and I talk with Gaurahari and discuss with that person how it went for you, what was going on for you in the kirtan. If possible, if it was a good experience, see some principles which are there in this connected kirtan where you chant with Sambandha. If it was not so easy for you, that is equally as good. See some principles which were working there, why it was not so easy. Just try to share with your neighbor, with your partner, about this, because I think there's a great benefit in learning from each other about what works for us when we try to connect with Krishna, and where we feel there is some space for improvement. Please do so, and I will soon see you some more. Definitely continue your discussions later. I always feel so rude in interrupting Vaishnavas when they sing and so on. My dear devotees, we come towards the end of this particular workshop. What I was trying to teach you today with this workshop was something I could not have taught you in so many words and reading the scriptures and so on. I wanted to really teach you a little bit something about my own practice of Krishna consciousness. Some little thing. Now I have seen in my life that the whole point of chanting for me is to really please Radha and Krishna, to come in a connection with Him. I have, like some of you, strong inclinations for spiritual life. I was even very interested in these things, in meditation and so on, when I was just a little boy. I don't know, I am like this. Mm-hmm. But over the years in Krishna consciousness, I have seen the wealth of the possibilities of prayers, of holy places, and so on. And I made an interesting experience which I would love to share. You know, it's one thing to guide others in a meditation and then to make your own meditation. When I do my own meditation, it goes very fast, and I do different things which seem to work for me, but they have similar elements in them. And my mind said, okay, let me just serve now the devotees. I don't do meditation myself, and I just present it to them to see how it will work for them. But then I thought, in the kirtan, when I had done the guided meditation, let me now chant really for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And what I could see is that the purifying force of the Yamuna, I quoted to you twice a verse which was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the purifying force of the Buddha Shuddhi meditation, and all of your sincere efforts, the purifying force which was coming from all of you, was just automatically bringing me to a different level of consciousness. And from there, I started to go into my own meditation. It was very natural for me to do this. And I was reminded of what Munishvara Hari told us this morning. You remember, he said that that real music are not the notes. This is not exactly how you expressed it, but it's the spirit of the music which is there. You know, Krishna consciousness, we can read it in different ways and we can find out different techniques, but the beauty of Krishna consciousness becomes really revealed to us when we practice it. It comes in these rare moments when we do kirtan, and all of a sudden in the kirtan we notice, my God, I'm singing. I'm no longer thinking, I'm already singing. I often ask myself in kirtan, are you still thinking, Sachinanda Maharaj, or are you already singing? Oh, yes, I'm starting to sing now. So on. It was very, very wonderful when you leave this platform. And also as a kirtan leader, I'm extremely critical with instruments. I thought, oh, the madanga is too loud, the cardals are too loud, why don't they look at me? Then I can look at them, but most probably they will die when I look at them to do softer, so maybe I should just tolerate. Okay, let's tolerate. You know, I'm going through these things, but then all of a sudden, my mind actually leaves the world. And how this is possible, how the mind of the devotee can actually enter that rare realm of Krishna consciousness is spoken of by Srila Prabhupada in a wonderful segment which we are going to play to you now, for it's about 7 minutes or so. We just sincerely pray that this technology will work here, but we have good hopes, isn't it?
So the first part, which I'm going to play, is where Srila Prabhupada explains how we have heard that we are not disturbed, but we need to practice this. So that's the first part, and the second part is his solution to how to practice this.
Wonderful.
So, right?
Chapter, text number 48. Given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami.
Nice and loud, no?
Recorded in the summer of 1966 in New York.
Okay, listen now, boys and girls.
Spiritual consciousness and to continue it. Simple theoretical knowledge that I am consciousness, I am not this body, anything, simple theoretical knowledge, cannot help us.
We can put on this light.
Unless, just like a person, he studied medical science or law, anything, any technical science, he gets all theoretical knowledge. But if he does not practice, then that knowledge will gradually subside. Similarly, that I am not this body, but I am the pure concept that is already analyzed in various ways. Now, we are in practical life. Now, if we say that I am not this body, so what is the use of working for this body? The whole world is moving under the bodily conception of life. Because I am born in this land, my body is born out of this land, American land. Therefore, I am thinking American. Because I am born in India, therefore I am thinking Indian. Because I am born of a certain family, therefore I am identifying myself with that family. Because my father has given me some name, so I am identifying with that name. So my position is that I am all around surrounded by this bodily conception of life. Now, from studying Bhagavad Gita or deeply thinking over the matter, I come to understand that I am not this body. That is that, that's all. But actually, I am working on bodily plane. This adjustment is required. Yes, you, for the present moment, because you are entangled or enwrapped within this, encased within this body, so you cannot say that I will work without this body. But you can work in such a way that even without this body, even with this body, you can work in your spiritual platform.
Then we go to the next thing. So Prabhupada has now really laid out before us how in practical life we are really working and thinking on the bodily platform. We have a name, we have a body, we have relationships, we do something to maintain our body. I think we are this is very clear. Now Prabhupada wants to say, even with the body present and your material life present, it is possible for you to actually act on the spiritual platform with the body, and he will give now some tips how to do this.
Yeah, do you listen just like 20 seconds before the actual part comes, because I cannot fix it now?
Lord Krishna, just like sometimes you bring some fruits for me, thinking out of your lap, no, suddenly you take this life. So the consciousness is love out of love you think of Samadhi. Similarly, Samadhi is not because he is in relation with God. So So similarly, we can think of also God. God or anything in relation with God, that is God consciousness. Just like electric charge, anything connected with the powerhouse, and anything later on connected with that powerhouse link, everything is surcharged with electricity. So our life should be so formed that in our every activity there will be God consciousness. That is the technique of yoga. You haven't got to separately being seated in meditation as yoga, generally as we understand. Now how much you can devote your time to meditation? Suppose 1 hour in the morning or 1 hour in the evening, you can devote. But if you mold your life in such a way that always 24 hours you are in meditation, that is the platform of Dhruva Saptukarma. I am earning for the Supreme Lord, then when I earn, I bring things for cooking, and thinking, oh, this thing will be cooked for the Lord. Now your wife cooks, and she is also very clean, because it is being cooked for Lord Krishna. Now, as far as I am concerned, here, I also cook myself, my food, and offer to Krishna. And therefore, I ask my friend that unless it is offered to Krishna, you please do not take it. Sometimes, and I see that in your country, while cooking, they test. But I request them that don't test before the cooking is finished. After cooking is finished, and when it is offered to the deity, then you take as much as you like. So that means there is God consciousness. That this thing is being cooked for the Lord. The cooking will go up. If you don't think of God, you require cooking because you want to eat. The cooking is there in the program. But if you think that this cooking is done for God, then your God consciousness is there. The cooking you cannot avoid. As a householder, you have to cook for yourself. You have to cook for your children. You have to cook for somebody else or for your own self. Yes, I am cooking, I have no family or children, but I am cooking for myself. So cooking you cannot stop. But if you cook with the understanding that this foodstuff is being cooked for the Lord may be offered first, then you should take. This is God. But is this very difficult thing? Anyone can accept it. Anyone can do it. It is difficult because your cooking business is not stopped. Simply the mode of thinking has to be changed. That's all. A small thing that I am earning for God, I am cooking for God, I am eating also for God. And that eating your, then because my body is dedicated to the service of the Lord. If I don't eat sufficiently to keep my body fit, then how can I work? So your eating is also God consciousness. Your sleeping is also God consciousness. So that is the way we have to mold our life's activities. Now, when I think that I have to keep this body fit,
so to continue to explain all different details of life, how we should mold them, and just changing the consciousness in this area of the self.
And the idea is, by this simple, he refers to it as a simple technique to do what is unavoidable. He says cooking is unavoidable, but to do that first for Krishna, then even while we are still bound with so many material designations and activities and so on, we can act on the spiritual platform just by making this little switch in the consciousness. And I believe that is also the mystery of good kirtan. We sing, but we just do it purposefully for the pleasure of Krishna. And at that moment, everything changes. There were two very shy participants of the kirtan retreat. One shy participant who told me, it was a boy, I can't imagine that I will sing before the before everyone in the kirtan course. And I said, well, we will not ask you for that. What? I heard that we will learn now in the second week instruments with the goal that we will be able to lead kirtan. I'm too shy for this. It's too private. It's too personal. I said, we are not going to ask you to sing before people. We are going to ask you to sing before Krishna. That's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. And I think every one of us has that natural inclination to do something for Krishna. So thought it was very nice to hear for, and how animated Prabhupada sounds, so alive, and so, wow, and he's so enthusiastic to share this piece of information with his audience. It was a lecture from New York in the 1966, very early lectures. Bhagavad Gita lectures. And he gives his own example. Yes, maybe you should be so kind to write it down, then devotees can find this lecture or these two lectures and listen to them again or even read them. They are printed out. Thank you very much. I'm really very happy to hear his master's voice, you know, my master's voice. He explains it in the best way. New York. 66. Okay. So, my dear devotees, we have gone a little bit over time. We will end here our session. Thank you so much for participating. I feel already a little sad. Soon the time will come to me to say goodbye, which I'm not very good in when it comes to such nice devotees. But today we will have 4 hours of kirtan. Manu, it's simple, isn't it? We go into the temple at 5 o'clock, and we really wish every one of you to not go in and out. You know, now you can sleep, now you can eat. Is there japa of Gaurahari? Nothing. You are absolutely free now. More than 3 hours for eating, sleeping, showering, washing your clothes, talking with your sending emails. But please be there at 5 o'clock in the temple room, and we will have a wonderful experience. We will really apply what we have learned here in these 4 hours. It's a unique opportunity. Please, no one should miss it. I will be so sad. And one thing is, we need to do something for Shrikant has some bad eye infection apparently, and it troubles him. And I think more than anything, you know, he was looking forward to this kirtan course so much, and now all he can do is rest and moan. Sorry? He went to the doctor. Maybe someone is he has to rest, or maybe he has to rest.
Maybe to sleep, he says, and to rest and to try and keep away from. I think that's an allergy.
An allergy. Oh.
So he just needs to stay inside and hope, and hopefully he's going to go, and he's trying to do it this week for it to go, and then after that it will. If he doesn't go, then he has to go to hospital.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Krishna. So let us send, I mean, let us pray for him, let us see. Someone brings him prasadam regularly?
I'm knocking, I knocked the last night, but he didn't answer. I brought him some food yesterday, and I haven't seen him today yet, so maybe not then.
Maybe we should have a regular prasadam supply thing. Maybe someone, because you are a guest here also, someone who is...
Dina Dayal is probably also...
Yeah. Dina Dayal, he is, there is some arrangement.
Yeah, he cares about him. He bring him medicine and all this.
And everything. Okay. He's under care. Fine. So we will. I will again mention it. Thank you very much. Have a nice prasadam. And see you at 5 o'clock. Well rested and ready for the experience. Hare Krishna.